Hello, I'm Arnold Hamilton, editor of the Oklahoma Observer.
And I'm Marianne Martin, and this is ObserverCast, your weekly deep dive into Oklahoma politics and policy.
Presented by the Mary Lou Lemon Foundation. So, we're happy to have you here today. Not for the reason why we're talking to you today, but... tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Representative Melissa Provenzano. I'm out of Tulsa. I represent House District 79 in Tulsa, which is like the Linden Hills Mall and a little bit north area, home of Tulsa Public Schools and Union Public Schools.
So you kind of have a very personal connection to all the mayhem. Yeah. Of the past.
Mayhem is a good word.
Yes. And honestly, so much, you know, and I pushed this narrative or this thought out there yesterday, and it's so accurate, sadly, is there's so much of what our school superintendent, state superintendent does just to create chaos, distract and chaos. And, you know, I've suggested to people, you know, don't pay attention to the chaos, you know, follow the money. You know, where's the money? And we all know that the investigations are pending and moving forward into the misappropriation of your funds. Mm-hmm. You know, the FBI was in Oklahoma City not 2 weeks ago investigating this very thing. And it's coming. And the worse it gets on the chaos scale, you have to imagine the worse it's getting behind the scenes for our superintendent, I hope, because it seems like it's gone off the crazy train lately. But, you know, unfortunately, this, you know, with his reshare of a doctored video of a librarian in my area, we're now taking the chaos and putting true danger, you know, in line with that chaos. And today marks the fourth day in a row that the district and that school site and the librarian have received threats that a bomb has been placed in their home or at the school, you know, and looped in a bunch of other sites today to the point that it looks silly, but, you know, the FBI is involved in finding out who that is. And the, you know, as well as the Tulsa police here. And so, you know, and so many thanks to the local media who aren't just continuing to push out the sensationalism of it, and hopefully, you know, it will go away and this person will be caught. So
just the kind of recap for everybody, you know, and it's like, and I don't want to like hierarchize it, the week's misery, right? But it's just probably the closest we could get to a logical conclusion of what we would expect to happen with what Walters has been doing since taking office, right? So sowing discord. So I'm going to try and kind of fill in all the things that have happened. So since the passage of House Bill 1775, Tulsa Public Schools was called to the carpet for violating House Bill 1775 because of a training module. And so they're saying it was like, I'm going to say an intrusion of DEI, God forbid, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Was that the one? Was that Tulsa? Or was
yeah. But, you know, the interesting thing is the complaint was made about something that the trainer was saying apparently in person versus what was, you know, up on the PowerPoint display, which the State Department of Education finally concurred. Yeah, what was on the PowerPoint didn't rise to the level of violating 1775. But then audio recording, or I'm not quite sure how it came out, but it was, turns out that the presenter was reading the PowerPoint verbatim. So that should have been the end of it. But unfortunately, that accreditation ding stuck.
So I mean, all this is to say is like a small incident in a training session.
Right.
Led to the possible revocation of Tulsa Public Schools accreditation, which is the nuclear option, correct? Potentially. And so that's one side of it.
Yeah.
And that's been like on a slow burn for many, many months now. Most recently, earlier in the summer, when Oklahoma State Department of Education board meeting punted it to yesterday, August 24th, meaning after the start of school. So there, it was possible there was going to be a vote to revoke their accreditation after school had already started. So there's that piece.
Right.
So then you have the gear funds and the another slow burn where we know that there has been, because of the state auditor's report, that there was misuse of federal funds that came from gear. So basically all of the post-pandemic money relief that the state received, not all of it, but the money that the state received from the federal government, there's now some very serious questions about that money having been used, and this has been documented in the news. People buying Christmas trees and like Christmas gifts and televisions when they should have been using it for educational purposes. All of this stuff. I mean, just some of the most heinous misuses, like people getting to the front of the line for some of these the back to school money or the keeping kids. So just a whole bunch of shit that is right, like focused like a laser on Ryan Walters' forehead.
Right.
Because he is at the source of this misuse, corruption, fraud, and whatnot for federal dollars, which is no small thing. So at the same time, he's kind of playing this smoke and mirrors game of look at what Tulsa Public Schools has done. Alleging, you know, embezzlement, alleging Chinese money. I mean, like, wow, talk about not having that on your bingo card, right? I mean, it's all of this. And then Dr. Deborah Gist announced that she was withdrawing from her position because she is very much kind of the whipping post as the head of Tulsa Public Schools.
Right.
Well, and because
so all of these things are kind of coming together.
So many things to say. I don't know where to start.
Yeah, but I mean, just to kind of recap where it all is. Sure. And so you have a very frightened little man sitting, I'm sorry, this is me saying this, sitting at the head of a table.
Right.
Attacking a woman who leads a highly diverse school district.
Right. Yep.
And doing absolutely nothing to solve the problems facing our schools.
Doesn't it strike you funny that if a superintendent who really cared about kids, superintendent who really cared about public education, you know, that their first move is off with their head,
right?
Know, versus, right. What can I offer you to support that you haven't gotten before that you need that we can give you? You know, I mean, that's what leaders do. That's, you know. And we seem to be missing that element. I do want to circle back. I want to make some real points, if that's okay.
I just wanted to make sure to set the scene for people who haven't really just paid attention to the past 9 months with the wonkiness that we do.
Right. No, I feel like that's a good overarching description. You know, 1775 was last year's accreditation. So this year's accreditation report, one happens every single year. And it should be noted. So I was used to be a principal and we would do these accreditation reports. And the interesting thing is it didn't have a dang thing to do with reading scores. Just putting that out there. An accreditation report is, did you do the required number of fire drills? Are your teachers teaching the classes and enroll in the areas that they are certified by the state to teach in. You know, it doesn't have, you know, F school, A school, B school, nothing. And the accreditation the State Department recommended this year, separate from 1775, two deficiencies. One was because Tulsa Public turned in a report 1 week late.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is because in the report, one teacher had been, you know, like at a high school or at a district of 80,000 kids, be a lot of teachers. But one teacher had been mistakenly put in a wrong certification area on the report. They had the certification, but it was just like a click here. Oops, I clicked the wrong drop down section type of a thing. And instead of allowing the opportunity to correct those, they get zinged with deficiency. But then you get into the actual meeting yesterday, and Ryan Walters wants to add this third accreditation on the financial audit. Financial audits are done every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And they go deep and wide, and they're finding all these issues with the financial audit that the people who review the accreditation didn't find. And it was just weak sauce, to be honest. And so the accreditation was with deficiencies, these two or three deficiencies, and we're moving on. But let's think about that for a second. Tulsa Public Schools home to 34,000 kids, you know, give or take, depending on the month of enrollment.
Yeah.
And you are no longer accredited. So 34,000 kids are headed to every single school district outside of Tulsa to find an accredited school that they can get credit for having a team, you know, and not to mention high school seniors, what is their transcript going to say if you can't? You know, so that's Jinx, Broken Arrow, Bixby, Owosso, Broken, you know, all of these, Sand Springs, Sepulpa. We're going to have to absorb all these kids. And so what's the reality there? The reality is that's never going to happen. So to me, it was like, this is the dumbest thing ever. And you haven't really thought this through. You're just threatening this district to scare them. I think the ultimate effort was to remove Dr. Gist for political points. And mm-hmm. I can go into that later.
So, to circle back on your circle back.
Yes.
So filing it a week late.
Yeah.
Is that better or worse, you think, than not filing Title I reports to the federal government?
I mean, what an excellent point. So.
I mean, not filing them at all, much less late, right?
Yeah. And costing us federal dollars.
Substantial and important federal dollars.
Right. And he, you know, remember when he was campaigning, he said, I'm not going to take federal dollars, and then dialed that back. And then when he came to give us his budget report, you know, Republican senators, Republican, you know, House members, Democrats, all asked him, do you really mean that? Because that gives us heart palpitations, because that's millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going to do that. But what he does do is not go after competitive grants, you know, but then not does he only go at, which is about $30 billion a year, but those grants pay salaries. And the people that have been rehired for August are counting on those grants. Now, he doesn't reapply for them. And then the second piece, what we're hearing is that he is not implementing those grants based on the guidelines of the grant. And so, like, say you can
buy a reading
with this money, but instead I bought a secretary, you know, by being a loose term, paid for. And so that could also cost us having to repay all that money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I ask my peers across the aisle, what are you going to do? They're like, well, at least we got a lot of money in savings. And I'm like, hold on. Wait a second. Really? Is that where we're at? But then, you know, on top of that, he is separate and above, you know, from the formula title dollars that we get. No matter what, you know, as a result of us filling out free and reduced lunch forms for kids, you know, and Tulsa is a 100% free and reduced district in our state. And so we get all of the dollars. Generally, our school districts are made aware of how much they're getting in April. They don't get it because it's actually, you have to invest and spend, and then it gets reapproved, which is fine. But in April, they start, you know, they start with, okay, we're going to get this much, so these are the purchases we want to make, you know, and they have to be tied to reading your map. Well, they don't hear, and they don't hear, and they don't hear until mid-July, after a lot of public pressure, the money goes out. And the concern has been, and I haven't followed up on this, Tulsa didn't get the money that they were supposed to get. So where are these dollars going? And so it's a big cluster, heated cluster. And then you start hearing about after-school programs. You start hearing about our state testing platform, which the contract renews every single year through the State Department of Education. And there are four big testers in the state of, nationwide. And we don't really like a lot of them, but they're what we have, and by law, we have to test kids every single year. And so we wanted to go with a new vendor, I'm told, this year, but we waited and didn't purchase or sign the ink on a new vendor until the only option left was the people that we didn't like that we hired last year. So let's re-sign with them, and they charged us $1,000 in fines because of in late fees. And so it doesn't sound $800,000.
$800,000.
That's correct. So it doesn't seem particularly fiscally responsible, but yeah, you hear our superintendent bragging about how much money he saved. Well, there's a reason he's not signing contracts like that. That's not the only one. And so the concern is we're not going to know just how bad it is for 2 or 3 years. You know, because we won't know what's been missed, and by then it's going to be too late, and this man's off running for governor. You know, so I'm sorry, I'm looking at your faces, and everybody's like, oh, I'm bringing goodness and light. Nope, I'm not.
Well, that's really never what we do on this podcast anyway. So,
I'm sorry, you touched in on a hot button for me, so I could just go on and on and on. Because I'm like, well, let's talk about academics. Then let's talk about the Confucian student. Then let's talk about embezzlement. Let's do that. But it's just so much intentional chaos to distract you from the problems going on behind the scene with the gear funds, you know? Not to mention the lack of the title dollars and whether or not he's actually applied for stuff, which he hasn't, which is concerning. You know,
okay, so quick question for you.
Yeah.
Is it intentional or is it incompetence?
Yes.
I mean, honestly, because like, what's the saying? Like, don't write off to like, which could be ascribed to incompetence, right? Like, but at the same time, I mean, that might be, I think saying he's incompetent might be too generous. I mean, just in the sense that, you know, but because there are forces at play that are trying to sow discord and chaos intentionally surrounding public schools. So to continue to undermine, you know, the public perception of our schools.
Right. And the powers that be that are funding his efforts are national. No mistake. Yeah. That don't believe that the taxpayer should be paying for public schools. And you see this line forming, yes, where you have the private schools, you have the charter schools, which are public schools, and you have your traditional brick and mortar. And you see this start to evolve. And by the way, you know, private schools in my area, now that vouchers have passed, are increasing. And of course they are. And they're handpicking who gets into their schools. So you're going to have the CEOs, your middle management, and your worker bees, to be quite frank. And if we don't put a stop to that now, we're going to have big problems. And it's expanding across the United States. You know, I pushed out a survey at the end of session, and you know, they're left a little dangerous area. Hey, is there anything else you want me to know? A lot of people are very concerned with Oklahoma becoming the next Florida, you know, here. And you've already heard about, gosh, the PragerU. You've already heard, you know, our superintendent talk about that. And I'm like, oh man, let's talk about parents' rights, because that's what I'm leaning to in this session, and advertising. You know, this is a false narrative. But anyway, sorry, I'll let you guys talk.
So, I want to latch on to what you talked about, like after school programs, right? Because, I mean, that is such a huge freaking lifeline for parents you know, and caregivers to have somewhere safe for their kids to go after school. Right. I mean, it makes the difference in whether you can work or not sometimes.
Right.
I mean, these federally supported programs, I mean, I finally don't have a kid in daycare, but, you know, I remember like 30% of my monthly paycheck, you know, like, so that piece alone is going to wreak so much havoc on the workforce.
Well, and just not signing those contracts is the approach. Just like, just no action. And you asked incompetence or intentional discord, and, you know, and I do think it's both, because if you sit and listen to the ideas out of this State Department that are being proposed, it's like, well, so state statute prohibits that. We already tried that. We tried this 5 years ago. This is in full implementation. So he's got the science of reading is one of his big initiatives. Tulsa Public Schools does that and has. Every single teacher's been trained. And you know, that's Exhibit A. But with the after-school programs, you're exactly right. And it impacts, you know, it's, I kind of feel like you roll out of diapers and you're like, oh, there's a cost lifted off of me.
Yeah.
You pay for daycare and then you're paying for, you know, Girl Scout uniforms and then you're paying for college or whatever. And so it doesn't, you don't really ever get a break, but just to take no action, it's intentional. But the depth, the sheer depth and breadth of the lack of policy knowledge is breathtaking. Because, you know, I'm sitting here listening with my educator ears going, yep, done that, tried that. Those people were criminals. And so I've not heard new except chop off the head and see what happens. Even in the board meeting yesterday, it was, you know, I actually was surprised, pleasantly so, you know, regardless of politics, because you can hear that as well, but to hear the board members really wanting to talk to Tulsa Public Schools, you know, and dig into questions they had. And you heard our superintendent go, well, it's time we move things along. And I'm like, so these board members have questions. Let's go ahead and invest the time, you know, because as Representative Goodwin said yesterday, we can't get this gentleman on the phone. And so take the time when you've got it. And
yeah.
And it was, you know, I had to chuckle a little bit because they weren't having it. He was wanting to move on. And they're like, oh, yeah, I agree. Now, one more question. Go. And then, you know, bless the gentleman from the Tulsa Public Schools area. And he's like, well, shoot, I don't know much, but if we can get 150 old white haired guys like me on a Saturday in a gym and we're going to fix these reading scores. Like, oh.
And he offered, as I recall, to give 1 hour. And
yeah, Stacey Woolley pressed him on that. And yes. And she's like, how about an hour a week?
Yes.
Okay. And I was just like, well, let's get on the phone to Reading Partners, which is, you know, up and alive and well in our district. And that's their whole goal, you know, is to get kids. And I appreciate his desire to help. But we also need people with policy knowledge and background knowledge on what works serving these roles.
So I'm just going to say, a couple years ago, when I was still at the Capitol often, I had the chance to talk to Jason Sutton, who works for the Speaker McCall.
Yes.
And this was when my daughter, really close to when she was being diagnosed with dyslexia, and we finally identified what was happening. And Jason told me that the speakers had a child with dyslexia. And so this is why he was putting together task force and stuff. So, I mean, I would just love to kind of see this kind of come together and have someone like Speaker McCall kind of call out this BS of the science of reading as like a panacea for all the reading troubles in the state. You know, like, let's actually take a measured, data-driven look at the science of reading actually doesn't tackle all of it.
Right.
It's not going to be solved by 150 white guys going into a gym in Tulsa.
Said it, I didn't, but I love it that you did.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a whole new twist on the white savior thing, right? Like, white male retirees to the rescue.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, one of my very best friends is a reading specialist. And she's like, I'm all on board with science of reading for the kids it works for. But you have these other models.
Jesus Christ. Yes. Oh my God. Like, hello. Like, I mean, the take flight, right? Like, I can tell you this was not, I mean, oh my God. But then you put that on top of everything else that kids are bringing to school. I just, oh yeah. Every time
I
know you do. But just that science of reading piece, it's like, okay, so you just heard something somewhere, and like now this is like, this is the only thing you have to say when people are like, what are you going to do about the schools? Oh, science of reading.
Yeah.
Like almost like a tick, you know?
Yeah. Or I've got a buddy that's a contractor with the science of reading, and buddy, you know, but the science of reading works for some kids. But, you know, like my good friend says, she goes, I've got to get trained in everything if I'm going to be a good, you know, because when they put the science of reading materials out here and I'm working with a kid with dyslexia, as it were, and I'm reading,
it does not work for them.
He's like, this isn't, and she's like, this isn't going to work at all for this kid. And so she's doing her own thing as well and getting other training now. And I'm like, you know, that's what teachers do. The teachers that have gone to school for this, they've earned a degree. They've taken a certification test. And instead of letting the teacher understand the kid in the classroom, you know, we're pushing a program at them every single year because as a legislator, I want to get reelected. And I want to be able to say that I did something to help kids. You know, it's just like, let the teachers do the cooking. You know,
yes.
I think you heard me say that not too long ago when it came to, but just like, let the teachers teach. And but we throw something at them every single year, new program every year at the federal level, at the state level, or at the local level. Doesn't matter. You know, but it's something that is in the pipeline all the time.
Well, one of the, you know, it seems to me that one of the reasons a guy like Ryan Walters can get elected and why we can have the kind of chaos that we have right now is that a lot of parents, and in my case, grandparents of 700,000 plus public school students in this state, don't have a clue about, they're not education experts, you know.
Right.
They know they want the best education for their kids, and they know that they feel generally pretty good about their public schools.
Bingo. Yes.
But when you've got a group then of, I'm going to call them out of state right-wing oligarchs who are funding Ryan Walters and handing him a script, which is why he doesn't want to go off in these questions from the board members, because he's got a script to follow. And if he's not in control of the dialogue, or if it's not a monologue, then who knows where it's going to veer. And then he could really be in trouble.
And that's where we almost went yesterday.
Well, but you know, what's really interesting to me, and I hadn't sort of put the, and maybe I'm just slow on the uptick here, but I really hadn't put it together until this week. But you look at the people, I mean, I've generally known who's bankrolling all this stuff. You know, you have the DeVosses, you know, who inherited their Amway money. You have Jim Walton, the Walmart heir, who's a banker in Northwest Arkansas. You have the Haslams, who are probably better known as the Cleveland Browns owners, among other things. But they're the heirs of the Pilot and Flying J truck stops, is it? And I thought, isn't it interesting? There's a common denominator here with all these people. They're all heirs. They all inherited wealth. Huh? And they're the ones who have decided that America's great equalizer needs to be demolished, which is public education.
Right.
And so, but people who are not in the weeds like we are on these things have no clue what's going on. And they're just thinking, what in the hell?
Yeah, I want school choice for my kid. Well, sure.
They already have it. They already have it. You can send your kid, if there's an opening, send them to the other school.
Exactly. And you know, but here in the state of Oklahoma, the law that we passed is, yes, you get school choice. Oh, but you don't does not apply to all kids, you know? And so when that happens, game on, you know, but it won't happen.
But I don't think that folks know what to do in the face of all this. They're just, you know, they're just sitting there wide-eyed and wondering, you know, what the hell's going on? And Ryan Walters is swaggering around like he's done a really great thing by bullying Deborah Gist out of office. And then lying about it and claiming the board actually fired her.
Yeah, you that know. Was pretty rich. I was, were you surprised when she resigned?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, okay, I'm the old guy.
I have opinions.
I'm the old guy in this room. And my wife and I, when our boys were at home, had disagreements about how you dealt with schoolyard bullies. Okay. I grew up, my dad was a boxer, was an ex-boxer.
Oh.
You know, so you can only imagine, you know, one massive shot to the nose and you put a stop to that stuff. Okay. And my wife says, but then I get expelled. We can't do that. We can't. Okay. All right. I understand. Yeah. And I don't want to resort to fisticuffs either.
Right.
But I know she did it thinking somehow this was going to take the heat off Tulsa Public Schools, because she is the lightning rod, a strong woman who did punch back publicly on social media against him. If she got out of the way, then he could shift his venom to somebody else. I don't think it works that way. He's clearly not done. And we saw that yesterday with Tulsa Public Schools. And there's a reason. We know why. There's a lot of others in Tulsa Public Schools that make them the perfect foil for his supporters.
Right. So, I mean, yes and no. I think she did fall on her sword intentionally. And I think, to some level, it was effective, because number one, you have the appointment of Dr. Ebony Johnson, and that woman is much loved and much revered in this town, and he will be hard pressed to, I mean, the woman is a steamroller with a smile. And I just can't wait. I used to work with her, with principals. But I also know, you know, this lines up, oh gosh, with his intentions. You know, it was overheard. What's his name? Bob Lynn down in Norman, who runs the OCPAC. He was overheard on a phone call day of the last board meeting a month ago, saying, if you turn the Black and Hispanic community against Gist, you're a shoo-in for governor. That was overheard. And you know, so I let, you know, a few of my fellow representatives in on that. And I think he's going to have a hard time with Dr. Johnson making that go, because these communities are angry with him now. And you could hear in his voice yesterday that he had a plan, and her resignation early was a hiccup. I believe the resignation was going to happen no matter what, but her doing it ahead of this meeting wasn't part of the plan. But I also agree with you that he's not done yet. And you actually saw Don Spencer, of all people, coming out.
Yeah,
naming the next districts on the list, to be quite frank. And so, you know, and
so just so everyone knows, Don Spencer is the head of Oklahoma 2A, so big gun nut, Second Amendment group. So, right, yeah, right. Very fit.
Exactly. But you heard him, you know, and Ryan Walters is part of that ilk. And, you know, you heard him calling, saying, we're not done yet. And, you know, I don't know what all of this has to do with gun rights, but, you know, we digress. And if you're a superintendent and if you're the OSSBA, you better step up. Start fighting back, because it is coming for you, one school district at a time if need be, unless the legislature gets it together this next session and put some shackles on this guy. Maybe that's not the right word, but put some limits on this guy, on what he can accomplish. We did take a first step last session. Representative Bride ran a bill that says, you know, any title funds that have not, that you're not applying for, that have, we've gotten in the past, you've got to clear it with us first. And that's in law now. It was quite a feat to get it across the line, but we need to do more things like that. And we need to be very, pay very close attention to what Gettner Drummond and Cindy Bird are doing and supporting everything they can, and keep that commentary in the news. Keep that commentary public. Like, here's the chaos. We're having to deal with the chaos now that it's creating a safety issue. But pay attention to the money. Follow the money, follow the money, follow the money. Because that's ultimately going to be what nails it.
My theory is this is the high point of Ryan Walter's career as state superintendent.
He ran off
the superintendent, but it's going to be a Pyrrhic victory in the end. And it could be a variety of ways.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, he's delusional if he thinks he's going to become governor. I'm sorry. I may come back and you can play this tape 4 years ago or whatever and say, well, you were a dumbass, you know, but there's just no way, unless there's so many candidates in the race and his little cabal of old white people who go to all these school board meetings, don't have kids in schools and right. haven't for years and raise right. hell, you know, about right. it. Cause it's not like it was back in the day, you know?
Moms for Liberty, Exhibit A. It's very concerning, but I agree with you except for one thing, you know, because we can all look and go, he will never get it like that. But then, you know, Donald Trump, who still is polling at 62%.
Yeah, but I think that, you know? I think, you know, the pendulum swings in politics. And I think the pendulum is slowly, I know that he's off the charts still among Republicans, but I think the pendulum is swinging.
Yeah,
and I hear it anecdotally from neighbors of mine.
Yeah,
who are pretty, you know, pretty right wing, and it's like, oh, I'm so over him. You know, he's got to
really?
Go. Wow. Shut up. Yeah.
Well, and you would think that DeSantis is the heir apparent, but the man can't get out of his own way.
No, he's a loser. And all you need to know is that he thinks Carly Acheson is, you know, should be one of his top, you know.
I know.
You know, that tells you a lot about
it. Yes, it does. For sure.
And he somehow thinks Kevin Stitt's going to help him. You know.
Yeah.
Good God. You know.
No, I don't. I wonder. It was fascinating because yesterday the board, the board met, State Board of Education, but then at noon yesterday, the governor gave the State of the State in Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the vote was done by then. But can you imagine if it had gone a different way and accreditation was removed from Tulsa Public Schools yesterday, what that State of the State would have been like? It was a pretty chilly reception anyway, because he went after the tribes and Chuck Hoskins was there. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, you know, and bless Chuck Hoskins. If the man would run for governor, I would sign up to knock doors. But had accreditation been removed, would have had entire businesses, you know, and business leaders really deeply concerned and on the phone with Stitt. And to be quite frank, the Protect TPS group that you saw pop up, you know, I was on the business arm of that. And one of the things that we did is we reached out to business leaders and said, you know, how are things going? How would this work out for you? And, you know, maybe you should contact the governor. And you know, it's worth noting that all the school board members at the state level are appointed by Stitt. So, and if they don't do what he wants, they're gone. And we've already seen that a couple of times. And so, you know, the outcome, I think, had a lot to do with Governor Stitt yesterday, personally. But not the desired outcome, but the outcome nonetheless.
Well, I wonder if the heat is not beginning to turn up on some of these folks a little bit. I thought it was quite interesting that Sherry Conley announced this week that she's not going to seek re-election. Of course, she has more
Wait a
trouble.
minute. What? When did this happen?
Yesterday. That she's also traveling with Ryan Walters to speak to people across the state. Mm-hmm. And the understood intention is that she's going to run for state superintendent once he.
Okay.
I didn't hate that announcement. That's all I'll say about that.
Yeah. Well, of course, she's got a little problem herself, you know, with the sale of some property that was way overvalued mysteriously.
Some very, very fruitful pecan trees, I guess.
What the hell is it with these people? I just, wow. It's, you know, I look at people like Sherry Conley, and I throw David Bullard in there and some of these other folks, and I think, well, there's good news and bad news. The good news is they're no longer teaching our children. The bad news is they're in a position to do a lot more damage.
You know, it's really fascinating to think about applying, you know, just her announcing she won't seek for it. She's just one in the line mm-hmm. right now, because, you know, when you have the head of House and the head of the Senate terming out, there's some collateral damage. And you keep seeing this person in the Senate announcing they won't seek re-election. This person in the House, every single week, there's been a couple for the last several weeks. And it's, you know, plus the people that are termed out. So I think in a year and a half from now, it's going to look very different, the vibe of our legislature, whether it's better or worse. You know, I'm more concerned about what the Senate's going to look like. But,
you know, and I think Arnold and I think would both say that term limits in the legislature has actually been counterproductive and harmful to the institution more
than
it.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
I have a friend that says term limits are at the ballot box. And I'm like, well, we have a point there. I kind of get that. But,
yes.
You know, but at the same time, and at the same time, our institutional knowledge in the building
just goes out the door.
Well, and into the lobbyists. You know, mm-hmm. because they're there, most of them are former, you know, legislators, and I love most, you know, most all of them. But the reality is they have a much better working of the understanding of, you know, how the mm-hmm. capital runs. But by the time you're at 12 years and you lose that know-how getting things done, when your whole first session is kind of a train wreck, it is a real loss. So I don't know that 12 years is the magic number. So, it does kind of chew you up and spit you out, I have to say. It's like at the end of our session, I'm like, do I want
to? Yeah, sure, yeah.
So if you're a superintendent across uh-huh. the state of Oklahoma right now, 500-plus districts,
yeah.
If you're a principal, having sat yeah. in that seat, if you're a teacher, mm-hmm. what, you know, how do you operate? How do you, when you've got a guy who clearly is all about, he's reading a script that's aimed at destroying public education as we know it, eliminating government schools, as they call them, you know, because of woke indoctrinators, you know,
right.
terrorist teachers. Of course, which is, you know, you talk about, this is all-time project. This is world-class projection, you know, because this is
the
guy
who wants syllabus, to. So yeah, it's complete projection. Like,
this is the guy who wants the Hillsdale. He wants the teachers taught the Hillsdale curriculum. And then Prager, oh my God, a right-wing talk show host who created some sort of quasi, you know, curriculum that they sold to Ron DeSantis and company.
It's like Dora the Explorer for history. You know, it's a lie, right? But without facts. You know, or leaving key things out. You know, I actually heard from teachers in Tulsa the week before school started, and they said, should we hang things up on our wall? I mean, when you're not into the weeds and you know that it would be really dumb of him to remove accreditation, dumb. But for those people who don't understand what that impact would be, I would be afraid too. And now I have teachers reaching out going, this is the fourth day in a row that my building has been targeted, or I have kids at the middle school and their brothers and sisters go to this school and they're freaking out. It's not a great environment. You know, and as a principal and a superintendent, I think the prevailing thought is so far is just, you know, fly under the radar as best mm-hmm. you can and don't raise awareness. Mm-hmm. But we're getting real close to being beyond that. And we need our principals and our superintendents to coalesce as a unit and say, you know, we're not going to be doing this.
You know, I really do got to say, like, along those lines, I would love to see OSSBA and COSEC mm-hmm. really come to the table and just be completely forthright that really just to throw some hands, you know, and just instead of sending our old white male retirees to gyms to teach you know kids to read, this is the crowd that really needs to stand up and pick a fight in favor of our public schools. Yeah. We women can get as angry as we want, but it's really past time for the white men in education to stop being quiet, you know, like, and I'm sorry, but as a white woman, I feel like that's just what a lot of white men do is they, you know, keep their heads down. It's like, this is not the time. You know, and this is really not the time. Like,
Exhibit A is G.T. Bynum.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
Boy, you talk about distinguishing himself this time. Mm-hmm. What a weasel. I'm sorry.
Meanwhile, you got Chuck Hoskin, like, using the power in the his platform to call mm-hmm. things out, right? Like, I mean, you have the tribes that are finally, you know, not, I don't want to say finally, that's not what I meant to say. The tribes right. that are sticking their necks out, you yeah. know, and really going to fight for these issues. It's just like the white dudes are just shutting up. I mean, and I'm sorry, it's just not a coincidence that it was Dr. Gist and not, you know, Dr. McDaniel in Oklahoma City Public Schools who got the brunt of all this shit.
Though he's been doing exactly what you're talking about, which is keeping his head down.
Yes, exactly. You know, that's what
that's
I mean.
Why, like, that's why he skated on this thing.
Right. The Heim so brothers. Far. I mean, all, you know, the white dudes that run all the districts in this state, you know, have done a really good job of saying nothing. Dr. Cobb, I don't want to lump Dr. Rick Cobb into that, but it is time for the white dudes to really stick up and say enough of this shit. It's exhausting as the person who has always pointed out to be the loudmouth, right? Who I've been told stop asking questions. I mean, good
never
God,
stop asking questions. Never stop asking.
Yeah, I'm. Yeah. Always told it always gets me in trouble. It really does. It's just exhausting that the people that have to carry the weight of this.
And it's time for all it of is, us. And that's what happened. No matter what anybody says during the teacher walkout, we're a right to work state, and had teachers not had the blessings of their school districts, blessings of their superintendents and of their school boards, you know, across the state, there were votes taken in school board meetings to allow for, you know, the stop and restart of yeah. school. And then they added on the extra time at the end for, you know, and that was such a unique thing to see teachers, employees, principals, superintendents, and school boards all coalesce. You know, in many ways, honestly, I would tell you, I think public education is still paying for that. There's a lot of legislators still pretty angry about the fact that happened. But I digress. But that is the action we have to have now. And I don't know how to accomplish that. And, you know, and I kind of just keep hoping that, you know, Auditor Byrd and Attorney General Drummond are you know, have got some of the force. I think they do. But we'll just have to see and keep pressing every single day and calling it out. And it's so, so frustrating to be in the minority and to know the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And try to impress upon my peers the right thing to do and have them not want to, you know, some of them believe that's wrong and some of them believe that's true, but don't believe they have the numbers, you know, but the public education is the thing Republicans and Democrats, moderate Republicans and moderate Democrats agree on the most, at least in my chamber. And it should be an easy lift, but, the far right politics are getting us.
I mean, at some point you do have to wonder why they don't, you know, why they don't.
You know, and I understand that, like, fear of not getting reelected. When I look at what this job takes from you in the terms of, you know, family, and especially if you're not living right in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
There's a cost that's more than financial. Golly, I mean, the pay is public knowledge. It's $47,000 a year. It's not that great. I mean, it's not bad at all. It's a good, honest living, but most of us do other things, you know, as well. But we should be willing to risk. Yeah, but I don't know. The idealism has evolved.
Yeah.
You know, I had a former legislator tell me recently, because I asked them if they missed 23rd and Lincoln. And the answer was refreshingly honest. They told me it was the most intoxicating job I ever had. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah, you got people coming.
When I was there, I was invited to lunches. I was invited to golf outings. I was invited to all these things. My phone calls got returned. My emails got returned. And the minute that I was done, that all ceased.
Huh.
And I thought, yeah, that's kind of where we are today with a lot of these guys. Look, I appreciate a lot of what he's done, and I don't mean to disparage him with this comment, but I would have never dreamt that somehow Mark McBride would be the leading voice of reason in the Oklahoma House of Representatives where public education is concerned. I just, you know, maybe I never gave him the credit that was due, and part of it's because he looks like Yosemite Sam, but that's another story. I can say that too, Melissa. I know you can't. So,
for a minute, though.
But he's term limited. He's term limited.
Yes.
And you know, you can get a little backbone when you don't have to face the voters again.
But, you know, he's been the chair of the appropriations chair for education almost the whole time, right? I don't know. I mean, since I've been there and beyond. And he's. To him, he's built something if he is watching be pecked away at. And he's feeling protective. And he should, you know. And while, you know, our public education funding, in my mind, hasn't caught up with inflation. And we shouldn't be doing vouchers. And we do all of these things. But tomorrow, if you're Representative McBride, you know, he's created something. As Chairwoman Baker, you know, they've tried to do what they thought was best, and you know, and I've told them both, I don't always agree with you, but I know where you are, and that it's an honest place. But you know, not everyone is like that. But when you're termed out and you're looking in the rear view mirror at everything you've accomplished, you get a little fierce about it, I would think. So,
well.
I think we solved it all.
No, I'm trying to think, you know, we always like to end these things, these conversations, wrap these up. The conversations never end, but wrap mm-hmm. this segment up with some marching orders for folks who are listening.
Yeah.
To this.
Yeah.
What do you recommend?
I think the number one thing a person listening right now is Democrat or Republican, you need to be on the horn with the people you represent. That sounds so simple and silly, but I've seen votes get swayed, you know, to say it's time to start looking into things here from a legislator's perspective. It's time to start looking at, you know, is there willful negligence? Is there, what is it, lack of moral turpitude? Is there incompetency? Those things that make us think about whether or not this person wants to stay doing the job he's doing. We need to focus, you know, call your representative, call your senator, ask, make a hard ask. You know, my inbox is full. I'm like, of my constituents plus everybody else's, because they know I listen, respond, you know, but you got to call your person and say, you know, what it is that you want to see happen. Number one, got to get your butt to the polls. Number two, but you need to not stop there. You've got to be very articulate about what it is that you hope to see. You know, whether every email I've gotten is wanting to call for impeachment. I think we need to make the case with legal investigations. I think they're there, but we got to think about that carefully, because, you know, just like if you're not down in the weeds like we are, the simple go-to is impeach. But what else can we do? You know, you can ask your senators, you can ask your representatives to put some guardrails in the sky. Put some guardrails on, you know, the things the State Department of Education can do, and got lots of ideas on that, you know, and build in regular transparency. One of the legislation that I've been asked to run this session is require the State Department of Education to give a comprehensive financial report to the legislature quarterly on how they're spending their dollars, you know, federal dollars, state dollars, etc. And so it's more than just once. We can catch these things faster. You know, things like that.
It sure seems to me, too, that it's time for people, for business leaders, not just Bert Holmes and people like that, you know, to stand up and say, the future's at stake here for Oklahoma. Because it really is.
And I think our Tulsa Chamber is starting to get that, starting to take that position. But you're absolutely right. Our business leaders need to say, you know, Oklahoma's become a place that people don't want to move to. We, you know, we still haven't sealed the deal with Panasonic. Maybe the mess, the company, we just keep giving them money for some reason. But people want to work remote. Like, oh, this looks great. Can I live in Colorado? We're in the state chamber telling us our tax credits, we've got everything we need. But what people are saying to us is, you know, your education system is in disarray. Mm-hmm. And we got to lay that right at the people that created that beast to do something different.
Well, we should talk about this again.
Yes, there's so much more.
Yeah, I mean.
So next time we're going to talk about like puppy dogs and,
yes, and
favorite
then.
Colors, Buddy the Elf, name it.
Baby ducks.
Baby ducks, yes.
Baby goats, yeah. Proverbial petting zoo.
Yes.
Rhetorical petting zoo.
Yeah, well, thank you guys for letting me come on. And I enjoy it. I enjoyed the in-person event last month, and forward to doing this again.
It's always a pleasure, and it's always a great conversation. So thank you, and thank you for everything that you do. And what I'm sure it feels thankless and like a total body blow, you know. So some days.
So. I don't get as many steak dinners as my peers across the aisle.
I don't know why.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, we'll talk to you again.
Okay, should I?
Thank you for listening to this episode of ObserverCast. If you like what you hear, please tell your friends about us and share our episodes far and wide on social media. If you're interested in sponsoring ObserverCast, please give Arnold Hamilton a call at 405-478-8700 or drop him an email at ahamilton@okobserver.org. You can also support ObserverCast with a tax-deductible donation to the Oklahoma Observer Democracy Foundation, whose mission is to help create a better, more informed Oklahoma. And to help keep us on the air, visit okobserver.org and click on the donate button on the upper right side of the homepage. We also urge you to subscribe to the Oklahoma Observer, now in its 55th year of comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. We have a special digital subscription rate for ObserverCast listeners, only $1.99 a month for the first year. That's 50% off the usual rate for monthly digital subscribers. Just use the coupon code ObserverCast when checking out to get the discount rate. And finally, we want to thank Jared Deck for the music you're listening to in the background here. He's not just a resident of Norman anymore. He is now the Oklahoma State Representative for House District 44. Congratulations, Representative Deck. We're so proud of you. But you can still download his albums at iTunes and learn more, including dates for any upcoming performances at jareddeckmusic.com.